It's more fun than watching this stuff usually.
Yeah. I mean, although I actually thought this match was pretty good.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't really understand it.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Hey folks, welcome back to Who Booked This, the podcast. I'm Stephen Graham.
I'm J.R. Goldberg. You're switching it up on me, man.
I apologize. This week, we're talking about one of the three championship scramble matches from Unforgiven 2008. This is the SmackDown version.
So, this is interesting. So my one of my very good friends, Mike Dorgazi, suggested this match. And this was in Cleveland. So he went to this pay-per-view.
Oh, he did.
He did. Yeah. I did not, because at the time I was living in Albany. This is actually the first thing that we watched for this show that I have very specific memories of where I was. I know where I watched it. I know what I was doing.
I don't think I've ever seen it before.
Really?
Yeah.
This is actually, like, at the time, this is a pretty well-regarded pay-per-view, because all three of the scramble matches were pretty good.
Yeah.
And people really loved the Jericho-HBK angle.
Okay. And there's Crime Time.
And then there's Crime yeah. So, and I was talking to Mike, like, when he suggested this a little bit. And I was, because, like, I haven't obviously rewatched any of this since it happened. I was like, I remember this being okay. And he was like, as a live participant, it was like a good, fun gimmick. Maybe I didn't need to see it three times in one.
This was the period where WWE just, they still do it a little bit, but not as bad. But it's just like, okay, this is a gimmick pay-per-view. Every show needs to do the same match, because that's the name of the show. So we're having identical matches.
Yeah, they do it way worse now. I actually wrote in my notes, like, this is probably the first quote-unquote modern pay-per-view where they just, like, the pay-per-view is a gimmick, and then they shoehorn every match into that gimmick.
I'm thinking the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, right? Like,
yeah, but that started after 2008.
Yeah, but there was like three or four Hell in a Cell matches on some of those shows, and now it's down to like one or two.
Yeah. When did Elimination Chamber start? That was before this, right?
Yeah, way before this.
So, but I guess Elimination Chamber probably started it. I just think it's funny that, like, someone in WWE was like, you know what our pay-per-views should be more like? It should be like Unforgiven 2008.
Yeah.
Like, that should be the model for people.
I guess if they added like a 205 Live Royal Rumble to the Royal Rumble this year, then it would be equivalent.
Yeah, right. A cruiserweight Rumble where they just like bring in random Chikara students and stuff, fill out the ranks.
I would love that.
Yeah. By the way, someone would literally die trying to do like the flashiest elimination.
Oh yeah. Remember Paul London in Royal Rumbles? They'd all be like that. Yeah.
God, yeah. London, poor that guy.
Is this the show? Okay, I vaguely remember this. Is this the show where CM Punk was the champion but didn't fight?
Yes, I believe. No, I don't remember. I just watched this match.
Okay, I'm gonna look it up.
It may have been.
I don't remember.
Look it up. Yeah, so that we don't look like buffoons.
All right, I typed Punk into search on this page of Wikipedia, and it doesn't show up anywhere.
Okay, so then no. This was around that same time period, though.
Yeah. But, like, okay, so all the other matches, though, it has... Oh, no, it doesn't have a champion going in, because no one's a champion going in. Oh, well, it's a vacant title. Vacant title. So okay.
The ECW one, Mark Henry, was the champion before the pay-per-view.
Okay, and then Triple H was the champion.
And Triple H was the champion of SmackDown.
And then the other one was no champion.
Yeah, it was no champion.
Okay. Beautiful.
It should be noted, too, by the way, just for who booked this continuity, that there was an angle leading up to this pay-per-view where Vicky Guerrero Big Show was supposed to be in this match.
Oh, no, CM Punk was replaced by Jericho.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You were right. Good memory.
CM Punk was attacked backstage.
Yes.
He was the champion going in, and then he was attacked backstage, and then he was replaced by Jericho later on, and the title was vacated. That's bullshit.
Yeah. What happened? Why did Punk get, he must have been injured or something, right? Or did they just job him out?
I think they just jobbed him out.
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
People
should talk about that more. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I remember being quite pissed at the time.
Yeah, no, I was probably super mad at the time. But knowing what we know now about how seriously Punk takes everything, that's hilarious. It's so funny. The only way it would have been better if Ryback was around. Ryback.
Imagine if they did that to Brett.
Oh, yeah, Brett. We would still be, Brett wouldn't have ever stopped talking about it.
Oh, he was attacked by Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, and Manu.
And Manu, yeah. Oh, now I remember, yeah.
And then Orton gave him the punt. And that was it. Okay. All right, I remember this, so I did watch this show at some point.
Sure, yeah, at some point.
All right, so...
I watched it live.
I might have, but illegally.
Yeah.
So, each match... So they had three of these matches of the six matches on the show. So half the matches were scramble matches. But here's the rules.
Okay.
It's a 20-minute match.
Yep.
Two people start in the ring.
Yep.
Every 5 minutes, a new person enters.
Yep.
If someone scores a pin or submission, they are the interim champion. And then whoever is the interim champion at the 20-minute mark is the champion.
Yep, you got it. Pretty simple.
But, I don't get this. Because, the way they're talking about it, they're like, Jeff Hardy's the current champion. But,
Yes.
But, Brian Kendrick's not a former world champion.
No, so they came out with a thing, either the week before or the week after, saying that, the reigns within the match counted as interim title holders and aren't recognized as a title holder, right?
Okay.
So they did it so that numbers didn't, because, then Triple H would be, a time world champion or whatever, right?
So, Jeff Hardy would be a three-time champion.
Yeah. Jeff Hardy probably already is. I mean, he won it a couple times, right?
Yeah, I don't know if this was before or after this.
Yeah.
All
right. It was right around the same time, because then he had the solo feud with Triple H.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right after this.
Yeah. And this match followed the Michaels Jericho match, which everyone loved. And it's in the middle of the show. It's in between Michaels and Jericho and Michelle McCool and Maurice. So that's
can you imagine, by the way, it's just 10 years ago and that angle with HBK and Chris Jericho, where Jericho legitimately potatoes Shawn Michaels' wife.
Yeah.
And she has a giant fat lip, and that's why they're fighting. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. At the time, it was.
Yeah, it was bad at the time, but it's looking back, it's even worse.
Boy, the Hickenbottoms. Yeah.
Wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling. So we get, man, and who's in this match?
All right. So the first two people out are Jeff Hardy, who is super over, and Shelton Benjamin, who is less over.
Oh my god. So man, it's so bizarre. you're having a world title match and Shelton Benjamin's in it?
Yeah. Well,
he was the gold standard.
And he was the US champion at the time.
Okay.
And so the gimmick was that he wanted to be the only person to hold the US and WWE titles at the same time.
Oh, look at that.
So that had never happened before.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
Who else was on this roster?
I mean, not a lot of people if you have a title match with these people in it.
Oh, man. Next month, Ray and Kane had a mask match.
I wonder who won.
Well, one of them has a mask now and the other one doesn't.
They both have masks now.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, so where was Ray on this pay-per-view?
That's a great one.
He was in the main event. He was in the main event.
Was he?
Yeah. He was in the much more star-powered Jericho, Batista, Kane, JBL, and Ray match.
Oh, that's a better match. Yeah. Although, I remember this one being better. And obviously, I did not, you know, willingly watch the Raw one after I watched this one. I could after one, but...
If I was going to watch one, I'd watch the ECW one.
Yeah, with Mark Henry and Matt Hardy, who was like
and
really
Finley
good at the time.
And Miz.
Yeah.
And Chavo, but whatever.
And Chavo. I mean, and Miz wasn't great back then, but Henry, Finley, and Hardy, that's pretty
cool. That's fucking awesome. All right, so yeah. We get Hardy and Benjamin. They do 5 minutes of stuff.
Yeah, and it's pretty good stuff.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shelton's good.
Not a world
it's
title
interesting.
Match.
Nah, yeah, I mean, it's just, they do TV stuff, right? Yeah. I mean, like, they both go through their stuff. Shelton hits his spots, you know?
Yeah, I kind of tuned out.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
But then fucking Brian Kendrick comes out, and it's awesome.
Oh, man, is it ever. So do you remember the Brian Kendrick character?
Loosely, because I wasn't watching the TV, because... Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. So he was pretty over at the time. So like he had Ezekiel Jackson as his bodyguard, right?
Yeah.
And he just sort of like did this weird entrance where he like came out and flailed his limbs a bunch, right?
Yeah.
And then cut like terrible promos because he's not a good promo, you know?
Yeah. I like Kendrick though.
Oh yeah. No, he's good. And he became this sort of like staple heel of the upper mid card for like a little bit. And it got to the point where it looked, especially in this match, as if he was going to be pushed rather heavily.
Yeah.
And then within a couple of months after this, he was fired, I think.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah, Kendrick comes out. And this,
by the way, interesting note about the Kendrick entrance, and I have no idea if this is true or not. But I remember reading an interview where Randy Orton said that the entrance that he did during the like peak heel Viper era started because at a house show he. Ribbed Brian Kendrick by coming out to he came out to Voices, but he did Kendrick's entrance, but just to, like the pace of Voices,
yeah.
And then it got over, so he just kept doing it.
I can see it.
Yeah, yeah, but
that's funny.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
Interesting fact here. So Jeff Hardy. Hits the fucking Swanton and becomes the first interim champion in this match. I just watched an old house show where Lanny Poffo did the same move.
The Swanton?
Yeah.
Wow. I was thinking, because like right after this, Brian Kendrick,
yeah.
becomes the next interim champion and the longest ever reigning interim champion. just to point that out.
Yeah.
Like he uses sliced bread,
yeah.
Which I'm honestly shocked that no one uses right now on Raw or anything like that.
Yeah, actually, it was very popular at the time. Like everyone was using it.
Like Mira Fuji did it and a bunch of other people. Alex Shelley did it. Would you be surprised? Like Seth Rollins, that's 100% a move he would do as like a transition spot in the middle of like an IC title.
Right? I feel like he has. Like
probably,
like it's not a finisher anymore, so it doesn't like register. But I feel it's something not. I've seen like in the middle of a match.
Yeah,
but I could be completely out to lunch.
It is a pretty cool move.
Yeah.
Someone should bring it back. Yeah.
Totally.
I'll bet it could get over as a finisher if someone did it.
Oh, yeah. Anything can if you protect it, right?
Yeah, of course.
But. So Kendrick's the interim champion. I guess they go on about how he's the champion, which, there's no championship advantage in this match. Cause like.
No, there's zero championship advantage.
Like the rules really should be, for me, whoever's the interim champion, you have to pin him to become the next interim champion.
That is like a much more interesting match, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is not how it worked. There's actually a decided championship disadvantage
because
Triple H comes out last, right?
There's
and he has the least amount of time, you know?
Yeah, but he's the most fresh for the last 5 minutes because that's the only 5 minutes that count.
I guess that's true.
But yeah. I wanted to point out the fucking WWE math that pisses me off more than anything else.
Oh, the like you have an 80% chance of losing. To lose the title or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like... they always do this. Like, if there's a three-way, yeah. It's like, oh, you have a 33% chance of losing. Not everyone's fucking equal.
100%. It annoys the shit out of me, and I'm so glad that you agree with me on this, because I harp on it for years, and I feel like it's one of those things where I talk about it, and people just sort of brush me off, maybe because I'm an insane person.
No, but you're
like,
right.
I am right. I'm 100% right.
Yes.
Like, me and Mark Henry being in a title match together, it does not mean I have a 50% chance to win.
And they never say it when it's a one-on-one match.
Right.
They should. They should say, Roman Reigns has a 50% chance of becoming the champion here against Brock Lesnar. They should say
Everything's
that.
Everything's a coin flip, guys. Yeah.
They should.
Watch.
But they don't. They only do it when there's an extra person, and it
bothers
me so much. Especially since Triple H comes out last, so he has even a more advantage.
Yes.
So, alright. So what do we got here? MVP comes out next.
Yeah. By the way, literally no one cheered for MVP when he came
remember
out.
Remember when MVP was awesome, like when he first came in?
Yeah. So I actually was at the Raw. So me and my friend, right around the same time period, actually, went to the pay-per-view. It was in Rhode Island. I don't remember the name of the pay-per-view. It was the one where the Big Show threw John Cena through the spotlight.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then we went to Raw in like Boston. No, it was in Connecticut the next night. And like Randy Orton was the champion at the time. Like he was cutting this big heel promo, and like MVP came out and interrupted it. MVP was like the most over babyface in the entire world for like one night. And then they like, you know, completely ruined it again. But, but like MVP's weird because like there are various times when he was over, and there are various times when he was really good in the ring, but I don't think they ever lined up.
Yeah. I'm not going to go back and revisit any MVP. Never mind.
No.
But I remember the Matt Hardy stuff being really good.
Yeah. Like, I remember liking the Benoit stuff, too, at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never rewatched that.
So, this is actually, I think the match we watched last week was the first Benoit match I've watched in years.
Me too, actually, yeah.
Yeah, strange.
Yeah, and he came out to Piper's music.
And he came out to Piper's music.
Yeah. So I have no notes, but from the time MVP comes out until Triple H comes out.
Yeah, no, really nothing happens until Triple H comes out. And then, as Jim Ross would say, business is about to pick up.
Oh, this is like, you know, people make fun of Triple H for like, for like his power.
Same exact note.
Like, this is insane.
So like, honestly, like, so Triple H comes out and like, I'm honestly sort of shocked that it took him 40 seconds to pedigree somebody and pin them. Because that seemed like an eternity. I honestly thought he would come out and just pedigree Brian Kendrick immediately.
So you were saying Kendrick was getting over now, right?
Yeah, he was pretty over at the time. It was like,
I wonder why Triple H clearly targeted Kendrick.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy. So
like, this is a long running thing too. Like, remember when Triple H just like years before randomly pedigreed him and Paul London when they were super over babyface tag champs?
Oh boy.
And then after he pedigreed them, he literally looked at the camera and smirked and shrugged.
Oh. Yeah. Triple H. So he pedigrees Kendrick, like, right away.
Yeah, literally 40 seconds into his time in the match. Yeah. I counted. They still had the timer up.
Yeah. So we have 4 minutes left, essentially. Triple H is the interim champion. He must go outside the ring because Jeff Hardy takes over. He pins MVP. Yeah. He comes to champion again.
By the way, Triple H must have had like a real Sophie's choice with this, to either let Brian Kendrick have a title reign or and at the same time count his interim championship as championship, or to just say that no one gets it, right? Except for him at the end, right?
That's good. Yeah, so Hardy goes nuts. He does a lot of offense. He gets the pin. And then Triple H comes in and just pedigrees Kendrick again and pins him.
Literally pedigrees Kendrick again. So there's 7 pins in this match, and like 4 of them are on Brian Kendrick.
Yeah. Hardy goes nuts again. He does a senton. He's the champion again.
Yeah.
And this one was weird, because Triple H is just standing there watching it and doesn't do anything. And then Jim Ross is like, oh, Triple H must have missed it. How the fuck do you miss someone in a match pinning another guy when there's only like 4 people in the match? Insane.
It is like, this match does have some like weird timing issues. And like, Jeff Hardy looks like the dumbest fucker on the planet.
At the end.
Like,
yeah.
At the end. Because like he's champion and there's like 10 seconds left and he could just fucking just play defense, but he's like, no, I should do like 3 more swantons for no reason, even though I'm actively the champion.
Oh, it gets worse. So Triple H goes for another pedigree, but he's backdropped over the top. Hardy dives on him. We get a giant clusterfuck in the corner. Hardy's just dominating everyone. He's hitting swantons on everyone.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so Triple H hits a pedigree on MVP with 5 seconds left.
Honestly shocked it wasn't on Brian Kendrick again.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy looks over at the pin happening, but instead of breaking that pin up, like, thinks he has enough time to go over pin Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
But no, of course not. There's only one referee, Triple H.
Yeah. So I understand Hardy's logic, but the timing of it is so poor. And I only, like, it's poor storytelling because I only understand it in hindsight, right? Because the idea in Jeff Hardy's head is, instead of breaking up the pin, he will just sneak in and get a pin right after Triple H.
Yeah.
Right? But there's only 3 seconds left when Triple H starts to do his pin.
Yeah.
So he runs out of time immediately. And he could have just broken it up like anybody would have.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, geez, no one breaks up any pins in this match, and it's insane.
Yeah, and like,
except for Brian Kendrick. Brian Kendrick is the only one who defends his interim championship.
Yeah, he's smart. Yeah. If there was a second referee, it would have made sense.
Yeah, if there was a second referee, it would have been fine.
But there is. So, 7 pinfalls, 6 WWE champions. They mentioned the 80% chance bullshit again. I got pissed off, and I stopped. And I stopped writing stuff at that point.
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, that's the end of the match, right? There's nothing. I guess. There's nothing more.
It annoyed me.
I think we should watch the other ones to see which one was the best.
You can do that on your own.
Okay, I'll report back.
Awesome.
What would be, first of all, I'd like to say they should bring this gimmick back. Maybe with a pen. But they could bring this gimmick back and they could make it very, very good.
I think they would have to make it a longer match.
Sure.
They'd have to, like, if you're the interim champion, like, put on a special shirt or something. And you have to pin the guy who's the interim champion to become the new champion. Then I'd be for it.
Yeah, I mean, then it sort of turns more into like a gauntlet match rather than a night plus,
right? But everyone's still there.
But you're still there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. But like, I mean, like, imagine this match, but with like Rollins and AJ and Brian and like a couple other people, like that would be real good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that does sound good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And you know, the Brian Kendrick, who's on the roster again, just put him in it again.
He is there.
Yeah.
Man. We have, I was looking through the requests for next week and there's one match that's been requested like 4 times, but I'm holding out for that. Like, we can't do that yet. Yeah, we can't do that one yet.
Okay.
Everyone stop requesting the most obvious match. We're going to get to it on a special occasion. So let's see.
Is it Chamber of Horrors?
We're saving that for Halloween, but that's not the
one. Yeah, we'll do that.
That's been requested a few times too, but there's a more famous one that's been requested a lot.
Okay.
And everyone, I'm sure you can figure it out. You know what?
What?
Dave Schiletti, who has been liking a lot of my stuff, and we've been communicating a lot on Twitter lately. He made a request a while ago. He made a few requests, but I'm going to pick one of these because I've never actually seen this.
All right.
It's a little long, but let's watch the 1995 King of the Ring.
The whole tournament?
The whole show.
Okay. That's fine.
Let's do
that.
We'll do it as a special.
Can we make it like a two-parter?
We'll do a two-part special. Yeah.
All right.
We'll do a two-part special on that one.
That's fine.
Yeah. So that's the next 2 weeks, everyone.
The next 2 weeks will be the King of the Ring, 95 King of the Ring.
Yeah. Everyone look forward to that.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I've been avoiding it.
Yeah. I mean, I have no memory of it. If it's not a people, by the way, at this point, they remember nothing about professional.
That's true. I know it's very famous for being awful.
Sure. Yeah. But is it the one Mabel wins?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But Mabel's awesome.
So I can't imagine it being bad.
Yeah. So, but we'll find out.
Yeah. Next week. I'm going to go into it with clear eyes and an open heart.
Sounds good. We'll talk about that next week. Do you recommend anyone watch this scramble, you think?
100%. I would recommend people to watch it. And for a couple of reasons.
Okay, because it did nothing for me. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It's just nothing.
Yeah, it's a pretty, like, mediocre pay-per-view match. Like, if this match happened now, someone would be like, oh, that's like another great 3-star Raw match or whatever, you know, but like no one remembers it.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that I remember is the interim championship run of Lee Bryan.
Yeah, that's fun.
This is an interesting match to watch either with context and hindsight or without for different reasons. Because if you remember the Bryan Kendrick run, it's interesting to remember sort of how over he was and how pushed he was and how quickly it ended after this, you know, and how quickly things can turn. If you didn't watch that then or don't remember it, then this is like a fun oddity to like discuss, you know, and just be like, hey, like why is this weird doofus like in this match for a championship, you know? Was the Raw roster really, or the SmackDown roster really that bad, you know?
Probably.
And the answer is probably. But at the same time, it was at least they had to try something, you know?
Did he brag about being a former champion after this for a while?
I think maybe for a little bit, but I think they really pumped the brakes and like made him stop talking about it, you know?
Why?
If my memory serves. And then I think, like, he got fired for doing drugs, like, right after.
Let's find out.
Thing, right?
When did Brian Kendrick leave? 2008.
Yeah.
Championship Pursuits, 2008 to 2009. All right. On July 30th, 2009, he was fired.
Yeah. But, I mean, they pumped the brakes on this, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's for different reasons, but. Well. We'll see.
Yeah. And then he went back to the Indies. Then he went to TNA. He went to New Japan.
Now he's back.
And there's a section called Brian Kendrick's Wrestling Pro Wrestling. He founded his own wrestling promotion called Brian Kendrick's Pro Wrestling.
Wow. BKP Dub.
Yeah. Pro Wrestling currently has a live streaming event on Twitch TV monthly.
Oh, weird. I have no idea about that. He did film one of the more bizarre shoot interviews of all time, where he just goes over various conspiracy theories that he know that he believes in. Like some of which are like relatively harmless, and some of which you're like, okay, like maybe you shouldn't really believe that, you know. But yeah, that's out there if people want to watch it.
Wasn't there one crazy one with Paul London?
Yeah, I think so. Him and Paul London have done a few together, too.
Yeah.
Because they're both spooky.
they are. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sort of, and maybe this is wrong, but like I sort of get the impression that Paul London is just sort of like a goofy stoner, and Brian Kendrick is like Dale Gribble from King of the Hill, you know?
Like, I feel like Kendrick's like one of those geniuses, but he puts his genius in the wrong place.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you know, maybe. Like those insane geniuses, like, but they're, like, somehow, like, think things that are wrong are true, but they're geniuses about it?
Yeah, sure. Like the galaxy brain meme on Twitter,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
cool. He's certainly Galaxy Brain. He's the Galaxy Brain wrestler.
I never got the Galaxy Brain stuff.
Yeah, well, not much to it.
So
yeah,
that's probably it. All right. I think that's enough.
Yeah, that's fine. We did enough.
Okay.
We did good.
Join us next week.